achieved a great achievement. Verily, the best speech is the book of Allah. The best of guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the evil of all religious matters is in their own innovations. Every innovation is a blameworthy bid'ah, and every blameworthy bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance is in the hellfire. Amma ba'd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Furqan, which is chapter 25 of the Quran, verse 63, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَإِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ حَوْنًا. By the way of the translation, this means, for, or verily, true servants of the Most Gracious are Rahman. True servants of the Most Gracious are the ones who walk gently on the earth. And the specific words Allah uses here are Yamshuna al-Audi Haunan. So those who walk on the earth gently. In another verse in Surah Al-Hajj, which is chapter 22, verse 34, Allah says by way of the translations, and give thou glad tidings of Allah's acceptance unto all those who are humble. And the word that Allah uses here to describe the ones who are humble is al-mukhbitin. So this is how Allah is describing the ones who are humble. In An-Nahl, which is chapter 16, verses 22 to 23, Allah says, by way of the translation, your God, Allah, is one God. But because of their false pride, and the hearts of those who do not believe in the life to come refuse to admit this truth. Truly, Allah knows all that they keep secret, as well as what they bring out in the open. And behold, Allah does not love those who are given to arrogance. And the word Allah uses here to describe those who are given to arrogance or pride is the mustakbirin. So the mustakbirin here, al-mustakbirin, these are the ones who Allah is describing that He doesn't like. La yuhibbu al-mustakbirin. So Allah doesn't like those who are given to arrogance or those who are given to pride. I'm narrating these three verses from these three different parts of the Quran because it touches on something that many of us often fail to realize. In the first part, I tried to mention about the humility and how Allah loves those who walk the earth when they are humble, and how He dislikes those who engage in kibr or pride. Those are the ones who Allah doesn't like. Today, I was hoping to speak about patience and how we inculcate it so that we may become of those of the ubudiyah, or the ones who humble themselves before Allah. This was my intention about a few weeks ago. It was supposed to be a continuation of what I have discussed the past couple months. I think 2 months ago I discussed Iman. Last month I came back and I spoke about gratitude as half of Iman. So this khutbah was supposed to be the second half of Iman, which would have been patience, as described in the book. I mentioned how the scholar Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah stated that Iman consists of patience and gratitude. And this is why I wanted to focus on patience this week as the second half of that duality that is Iman, gratitude and patience. But you know, sometimes things happen throughout the course of life, and it makes you stop and wonder if that is what you really should be speaking about. And it shakes you to a point that you begin to wonder what it is you are doing and why are you doing what you're really doing. Wallahi, this khutbah is a tough one. Because, honestly, this week, I tried to get out of giving the khutbah. Because something happened this week that made me wonder some serious things about myself. Like, why am I doing what I am doing? And I texted the imam and I said, Imam, can you find someone else to give the khutbah for me? Because I don't know how you guys do it. I don't know how you look at how sometimes you know that you slip up or you falter, and then you have to come on the member and give Muslims advice. How do you reconcile that? How do you do that? And it's a challenge that each one of us has to face. Because we all slip up, but we are all responsible for people in the community. So how do you, if you slip up, then turn around and give people advice? So what I want to speak about today really are two things. I want to speak about pride and humility and how they cannot exist in the same person if he's really to be a believer. I want to speak about how they are opposing forces that tug away at our souls. One pulling us to destruction of self and destruction of others, meaning pride, and the other one that pulls us to submission and true submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I decided to talk about those two things, not because I think I have a wealth of knowledge on it, but because I think it is something that we all wrestle with at different points in time in our lives. How do we move between pride and humility? Because we are being pulled in both directions. Brothers and sisters, as Muslims we strive and we struggle. We'll have different levels of success. And if we have different levels of success, similarly, we'll have different levels of failure. What do I mean by that? Some of us are able to avoid things like zina, adultery, gambling, alcohol, so forth and so on. Some of us are able to avoid these major sins. That is a success. But the same ones who are able to avoid some of these major sins, we cannot seem to avoid the looseness of the tongue, backbiting. We cannot seem to avoid laziness. We cannot seem to avoid pride. So even though some of us are staying away from the big sins, we find ourselves always in the middle of the smaller sins that add up and add up. Those are failures. So we may have successes, but we may have some failures. And those of our brothers and sisters who cannot seem to get out of the repeated cycle of zina, gambling, and alcohol, those are failures for them. But they may be of the people who, if someone comes and asks them for assistance, they always help. Without question, without reservation. That is a success. So I'm drawing these two examples to say that all of us, we have different levels of success and we have different levels of failure. At the end of the day, whether it's success or failure, it is still a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of the day, regardless of whether we look at it as a success or a failure or a test, the only solution is to humble ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is successful, how does he humble himself? He knows that the success he has is by the mercy of Allah and mercy of Allah alone. This is how he humbles himself. He knows with certainty that what he has done and he's successful in is by the mercy of Allah. And if he stops remembering that and he thinks it's something by his own doing, he can start walking that fine line between humility and pride. He can start thinking that this is his own doing. And that is a step in the wrong direction. And the ones who have failures, meaning all of us, the ones who have failures, how do we show our humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We find out what Allah loves and we stay close to that. And we understand what Allah hates and we try our best to avoid it. Those are general points. Inshallah, by the end of the khutbah, I'll give some more specific points. So I want to suggest that one possible meaning of submitting to Allah and being of the ones who are successful is to avoid pride and to seek out the changes in ourselves that allow us to inculcate or develop humility. We have to remember that a proud heart cannot accept Allah's guidance or the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no place in a proud heart for that. How do we know? If we think we have the answer and someone comes and they tell us something that is in our own benefit, we look down upon them. Especially if we think that they don't have what we have. You may have studied for X number of years. You may have done X, Y, and Z. You may have wealth. But because someone who you consider to be below you tells you something, what do you know? I did this, you didn't do that. And what they are saying could be closer to the truth than you can ever imagine. A proud heart cannot accept the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before I go any further, I want to touch on some of the words that I used in the verses above. The word that Allah used to describe the ones who walk the earth humbly, Haunan, some of the meanings that we get from that word. To become easy. To be of little importance. Insignificant. To hold in light or low esteem. And other words that suggest transitive or intransitive states of existence. Meaning that you aren't up there. You are really on the bottom rung. You see yourself as being on the bottom rung. Now remember the word that Allah uses to describe those who He hates, the mustakbirin, the ones who engage in kibr. What are some of the meanings that we get out of that word? Bigness, increase, magnify, exalt, praise, celebrate. The meanings of these words themselves alone lend to two opposite directions. On one hand, you're talking about you don't hold yourself in high esteem at all. You don't think that you are that important, that people need you. The other one, you think you have it going on. The other one, you think you are, you don't think you have the answer, you think you are the answer. Two completely opposite directions. And what does Allah say about those who walk the earth humbly? They are the ones who are the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does He say about the ones who engage in bigness and exalted status? They are the ones whom He dislikes. He dislikes them. So why is that important to us as Muslims? Because these two states are polar opposites. We need to be aware of how we can avoid it and how we can inculcate the things that we need to inculcate. So before I go on to discussing pride in more detail, we need to understand that as man, we will fall ever so often. How do we know that we will fall? Sometimes you often wonder why ABC or XYZ is happening to you. You may begin to lose hope, or you may begin to despair that something is going on in your life. You may be like, how do I get out of this? Well, I can't get out of this. You may begin to lose hope. I know personally that this has happened to me at times. Something happens, and it shakes me to the point, how am I going to get out of this? What is really going on here? But when this is happening to us, we have clear answers as to why it happens. What does Allah say? Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 155 by way of the translation that He will test us with good and bad. And more certainly, and this is Allah, and more certainly, we shall try you by means of danger and hunger and loss of worldly goods, of lives, and of the labors or rewards of your fruit. Allah is telling you clearly, He will test you. What does Allah also say? In chapter 47, verse 31, Allah says that He will test our reported metal. Now, metal in English language is a person's ability to cope. How you deal with challenges. And Allah is saying that He will test, one translation of it is, He will test your reported metal. Meaning, what you say of yourself and what others say of you. So if you say that you are someone who is patient, then guess what Allah will test of you? Your patience. If you say that you are someone who is generous, what will be tested? Your generosity. Your reported metal will be tested. Another direct translation of the word that Allah uses there, akhbarakum, your assertions or things that you say of yourself. This is what I assert myself to be. Or if you see, or if someone sees you, and everyone around you says that this is what they see of you, that will be tested. And we do not pass all of the tests that Allah gives us. So if Allah says that He will test us, and we don't pass all of the tests, at various points in time, we will be shaken. At various points in time, we will stumble. Sometimes we may even fall. In Al-Imran, verse 186, Allah says again, "Ye shall certainly be tried and tested in your possessions and in your personal selves." So the things that you hold dearly, Allah will test you with those things as well. And then the last one. There are many more, but the last one I will relate to you. In chapter 29, verse 2. Do men think that they will be left alone saying, "We believe," meaning we are of those who believe, and they will not be tested? This is Allah's rhetorical question to you, to us. Do we think that we will say, we are of those who believe, we are of those who have iman, we are of those who have faith, and we will not be tested? Surely that will not happen. If you say you believe, you can guarantee yourself that you will be tested. How shall we make these tests? Or how shall we meet these tests? How else do we know that we may fall off ever so often? You have that dude Shaitan. Never gives up. Never gives up. He didn't just get pardoned to just be there for some. He's there till the day of judgment. And he's working 24/7. Remember the promise that Shaitan made, that he will attack us from in front, from behind, and from places we cannot perceive. So if Shaitan is coming at us, and whether Allah is using Shaitan to test us or not, that is not the issue I'm getting at. If Shaitan is coming at us, there are times he will get through. There are times he will get through. So we will fall off. We will slip and stumble. How else do we know that we may slip? We know that we're imperfect. The only perfect being is Allah. And then Allah describes of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was the best of character. And if we know that we aren't half the man that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, we know we are far from perfect. We know we are far from it. So if we are as far from that as we think we are, then guess what? We will continue to make mistakes. And the last thing on this part, our pride. Because we have that tendency in us, That is one thing that will guarantee us falling off each time, our pride. What do I mean by that? You may think you are good. You have it in order. You pray your five prayers. And this is basic, all right? This is basic stuff. You pray your five prayers. You fast in Ramadan. You have it in order. You have it going on. You're staying away from the kabair. You're staying away from the major sins. You think you have it going on. But look how slick Shaitan is. You might leave the street and say you're coming to the masjid. Your intention is clear. I'm going to pray. So you leave your job, whatever it is, and you come into the masjid, you make wudu, you do everything you're supposed to do. And all you're focusing on is prayer. As soon as you stand up in the line to pray, what happens? You lose all that focus. You might be spending an hour, leave your house, drive to the masjid with wudu so you can get all of the blessings, you can get everything. And the minute you stand, Shaitan isn't even distracting you from that. He's not even working on you to convince you not to stay away from the masjid. He knows, go ahead. He's not even working on that. He's waiting till you stand in line. So you can throw away all of what you just did. Because as soon as you stand in line, what happens? This brother isn't touching me. I don't want to touch that brother. Listen to his qira'ah. He cannot recite. All of these things are things that distract us. So, I'm saying all that to say, we can start off and have the best of intentions. But if along the way, we aren't consistently renewing our intentions, Shaitan is always looking for a way in. So you may think you have it going on. And guess who wants you to think that? Shaitan wants you to think you have it going on. Because the minute he gets you to believe that you have it in order, he has you right where he wants you. That is when he gets in. Because he has you thinking, yeah, you know what? I am it. I have it. And that is when he rocks you. So as human beings, we are blessed with wealth, intellect, success. However, we must acknowledge that all of these blessings are from Allah and from Allah alone. We must consistently thank him. Verily, his blessings towards us are trials in and of themselves to see if we will continue to acknowledge that these things are from Allah or we will think that they are coming from us. He will continue to test us. And if we are not aware of that, we will fall short. So what happens when you slip? I'll move it along. What happens when you slip? You begin to question yourself as a person. You begin to lose, like, how can I do that? I'm supposed to be Muslim. How can I do that? You question your worth. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve the other. You start questioning all of these things. You even wonder if you're faking it. Like, you remember what people have said about you, and then you want, that's what they think. So one thing you slip up on, you start questioning everything about you. You wonder if all of your actions are just signs of hypocrisy. You start wondering some of these things when you slip up. But the worst thing is, you may fall into ingratitude. What do I mean? You slip up, and you start thinking that, how can Allah allow me to do this? You forget all of the other things that Allah has blessed you with. You start focusing on that one thing alone. That one thing has now become your whole life. It has started to consume you. So much so that you stop giving thanks to Allah for all of the other mercies that he has given you. Because we are all certain that whatever trial you were facing, it could be worse. That in and of itself is a mercy. Remember, Shaitan wants us to be ungrateful. And in my last khutbah, when I spoke about gratitude, I narrated the hadith that says that he who is not grateful for the small things will not be grateful for the big things. And that one of the distractions of somebody who loses gratitude or who's starting to lose faith is that they focus on the bad things that is happening to them and they don't focus on the good things that Allah has given them. So you may fall off and start focusing on that thing that you did to the point that you stop focusing on the good things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. This doesn't mean that the thing that you did should be ignored. But it should be placed where it needs to be placed. You messed up, you turn back to Allah. This is what brings us back to the humility point. Because if we are thinking that this thing is so significant that it is going to destroy our whole Islam, we are putting more importance on ourselves than we deserve. We are putting more importance on ourselves than we deserve. So even that could be a way back into pride. We think that we are so great, that we had it going on so much, that this should not have happened to us. I was doing so well, this should not happen to me. Who are you? Who am I that it should not happen to us? Remember, this is Shaitan. He wants us to forget the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So what can we do to avoid these things? We need to turn back to Allah. Allah wants us to turn to Him in repentance. What does He say in Surah Al-Baqarah? By way of the translation, surely Allah loves those who turn to Him in repentance and love those who purify themselves. Allah is saying that He loves those who turn to Him in sincere repentance. What did the Prophet ﷺ say as reported in Sahih Muslim? He said to the companions, if you did not commit sins, Allah would sweep you out or wipe you off the face of the earth and do what? Create a people who would commit sins so that they could turn to Allah in forgiveness. Now, this doesn't mean that Allah wants us to commit sins. This means that He wants us to remember that He is Ghafurur Rahim. He is the one who forgives sins over and over again. That is what that hadith means. Not that He wants us to commit sins, but that He wants us to turn to Him when we do. Because as I mentioned before, we will. We need to remember who we are. So this part here is how we get back to Allah. We need to remember who we are. If you remember in the creation of man, when Allah said to the angels that He's going to create man, what did the angels say? Are you going to create a being who is going to shed blood and cause corruption? This is what the angels are asking Allah when Allah said He's going to create us. We have issues. If you want to sum that up, we have issues. Because the angels are asking Allah, this being that you're creating, you really want him to go shed blood and all of that stuff? Are you sure that is what you want, Allah? And Allah had to put them in check. I know what you do not know. This is what Allah told them. I know what you do not know. So let's remember who we are. We have certain inclinations that we need to put in check. Consistently. Consistently. Do not get stuck in the denial phase of what you did. As I was writing this, some of you may have heard of the stages of grief, when someone dies by Kubler-Ross. And when I said do not get stuck in denial, this is the first thing that came to my mind. Like the stages of grief that we go through. So one of the stages, denial, where, nah, this couldn't happen. This isn't really happening. We as Muslims cannot get stuck in that phase. It happened. You were tested. Turn to Allah. Do not get stuck wondering if it happened or how it could happen. Because you will be tested. Sometimes we get angry, sometimes we get depressed, sometimes we start blaming others. All of these things are stages we go through when we start grieving over something we did or something that happened. We cannot get stuck in any of those phases. We have to find a way to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lastly, before I wrap up the first part, how do we find our way back? We be humble. We try to inculcate humility. How do we do that? One of the words that Allah uses to define humility in the Quran is tada'a. And the verses that I'm going to recite give you the meaning that Allah may have been getting at in this. Or that we presume that these words could mean. Before thee, in verse in Surah Al-An'am, verses 42 to 43, before thee we sent messengers to many nations, and we afflicted the nations with suffering and adversity, that they call on Allah in humility. So when you are turning back to Allah, and you want to be humble, what do? You call on Allah, knowing that He is the one to bring you out of it. When the suffering reached them from us, why then did they not call on Allah? So Allah is asking again, when the suffering comes to you, why are you denying it? Call on Allah. So Allah is telling us what to do. Another verse in Al-A'raf 55 to 56. Call on your Lord with humility and in private, for Allah loves not those who transgress beyond bounds. So let's tell us again what to do. Call on Him publicly and privately. In humility, knowing that we have to take it back to Allah. Khasha'a is another word that Allah uses in the Quran to discuss humility. Successful indeed are the believers, those who humble themselves in prayer. Khashiyun. Those who humble themselves in prayer. Once again, Allah is telling us how to be of those who are humble, how to come back to Him. Turn to Him in prayer and humble yourselves in prayer. The Quran is not, the Quran has broad values, but in many cases it's a how-to manual of how we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we cannot forget that. And last but not least, there are three verses that I want to narrate that wrap up this whole thing about when we make mistakes and what Allah wants us to do. In Al-Baqarah verse 155 to 157, Allah says by way of the translation, and most certainly we shall try you by means of danger and hunger and loss of worldly goods and lives and labor fruits, but give glad tidings unto those who are patient in adversity, who when calamity befalls them, what do they say? Verily, from Allah we come, and to Him is our return. It is they, the ones who say that, upon whom their sustainer's blessings and grace are bestowed. So Allah is telling you that when a calamity befalls you, and you remember that it's from Allah we come, and it's to Him we shall return, not just in death, but in everything that we do. These are the ones on whom Allah sends His blessings and His mercy. And it is they who are on the right path. Three verses. Allah is laying it out clearly for us. You mess up, turn back to Allah, you will find yourself back on the right path. Simple as that. This is how we need to deal with the trials that we face. Take it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. Brothers and sisters, we have to remember that we receive more good than we deserve, and we are often given less punishment than we deserve. Let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften our hearts, increase us in gratitude, and forgive us our sins. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Brothers and sisters, I've spent some time to try to show that there is always a way back to Allah, regardless of what happens to us. There is always a way back. Allah has left a permanent way back to Him for us. Pride is something that can manifest itself in many ways and throw you off the path. In many, many ways. Once you are thrown off your game, meaning the path to Allah, the only way back to Allah is humility. The only way back to Allah is humility. There is no in between. We have to remember that our pride can be dealt with in one of two ways. Humiliation or humility. Our pride can be checked in one out of two ways. Humiliation or humility. What is humiliation? Humiliation is when it's more external. It's laid out bare for others to see. When Allah brings you to your knees because of your pride. Think of Fir'aun. Fir'aun wasn't humble. He was proud. And what was he? Humiliated at the end of the day. That is how pride can be checked. The other way that pride can be checked is through humility, which is something that is more internal, which is you fighting against the desires that allow you to think that you are it, and you try to inculcate things that make you realize that everything is by the will of Allah. And in the grand scheme of things, you are just a thought. That yes, you do things that are good, but so what? It's not as though if you did not do that, it would not get done. And if you think that it's only getting done because of you, be very careful. That is what Shaitan wants. Shaitan wants you to think that you are the pillar that is holding it up. So let's be very careful with that. I had an analogy here about pride being like on a train and humility being like riding a mule, but it didn't work out. I spent some time trying to write up that analogy. It didn't go too well. So how do we avoid pride and inculcate humility? First thing is we ask Allah for forgiveness. Consistently. We consistently turn to Allah and ask Him for forgiveness. Anas bin Malik al-Ansari narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Verily, Allah is more delighted with the repentance of his slave than a person who lost his camel in the desert and then finds it unexpectedly." The hadith is saying that Allah is more happy that his slave repents to him than how happy he is that someone lost something and they found it back. The slave who repents pleases Allah more. There's a dua that the Prophet ﷺ said, "My Lord, forgive me and pardon me. Indeed, you are all forgiving, Indeed, you are oft returning with compassion and ever merciful. This is a dua, and I'll teach you Arabic for the dua, inshallah, in the Quran circle tonight. But this is a dua that we have to make very, very, very often. Ibn Umar narrated that here the Prophet said that dua 100 times in one sitting. My Lord, forgive me and pardon me. Indeed, you are oft returning with compassion, ever merciful. In another narration, it is said that we should say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullahu ladhi, la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, wa atubu ilayh. I seek forgiveness of Allah. There is no true God except Allah, the ever-living, the self-subsisting, and I turn to Him in repentance. It is said that he who says that, his sins will be forgiven. So the first thing we need to do, turn to Allah in repentance. Other things we can do, follow a bad deed with a good one. You do something bad, follow it up with a good one. This is Sahih Hadith. I mentioned earlier on, renew your intentions. Every step of the way, renew your intentions. I gave you the example of the person who's coming to Salah. Your intention is good all the time. The minute you stand in Salah, maybe you see your Sheikh in front of you and you're like, let me pray how I learned in fiqh class so he can see that I'm doing it right. Your intention changed in 1 second. Now you're not praying for Allah, you're praying for that Sheikh. Renew your intentions throughout the process. All Shaitan wants to do is throw you off course. This is his job. We just need to remember to continue to seek forgiveness. Not just from Allah, but from others as well. And this is the last point I'll make on this. Let's remember the hadith, or the narration that, the story I should say, where there was a companion who called Bilal ibn Rabah, the son of a black. And what did the Prophet tell this companion? Your heart still has jahiliya in it. What did the companion do? He went, he sought out Bilal ibn Rabah. The companion put his head on the ground and asked Bilal to put his foot on his head. In Arab culture, that putting your foot near someone's head is a sign of embarrassment. It's humiliation. The companion was so distraught by what he did and what the Prophet told him that he wanted Bilal's forgiveness and he was willing to humiliate himself to get that. We need to seek forgiveness when we do something wrong. Not just from Allah, but if we violate someone else, we need to seek forgiveness from them. We cannot avoid that. On the day of judgment, you do not want your good deeds passing on to someone else because you were too proud to go to them and ask them for forgiveness. This is an important aspect of our deen. So brothers and sisters, I want to take a minute to acknowledge Allah's mercy and His blessings and ask Him to forgive our deceased and guide those who are born in our community. In this week alone, we have seen Allah's mercies. A new baby was born to our teacher here at Kuba, El Hajj Fall, and his wife, Sister Naima Walton. So a new baby was born to them, and I was at the naming ceremony on Wednesday, subhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow his son to grow up to be one of the righteous Muslims in the community. This morning, life and death come from Allah. This morning, the mother of Abdullah, Amatullah, and Anisa El-Amin Jamia passed away. If you all don't know who they are, Amatullah is the wife of our brother, Idris Mackey. So Idris Mackey's mother-in-law passed away this morning, less than I would say 6 hours ago. So let's make a dua that Sister Linda Malika Eel, that Allah has mercy on her soul, that Allah makes her grave spacious, and that Allah allows her to enter Jannah with her sins forgiven and speed across the path to Him. So let us be grateful for Allah's mercies, thankful for His guidance, compassionate with His creation, and fearful of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Holy Quran, "Inna Allaha wa malaikatuhu yusalluna 'alan nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala sayyidina Muhammad wa 'ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik 'ala Muhammad wa 'ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Ya Allah, we ask your aid and your forgiveness. Ya Allah, we seek your protection from hypocrisy and save us from the fire whose fuel is men and stones. Ya Allah, we have wronged ourselves and we seek your aid and your forgiveness over the evil of ourselves and that what befalls us through the whisperings of the shaitan. Ya Allah, help us to be good to our families, our friends and our neighbors and save us from hypocrisy, inequity and ineptitude. Ya Allah, forgive us for our sins. Those who are struggling in your path, Ya Allah, grant them success, Ya Allah, grant them success. Forgive us our sins, Ya Allah, forgive us our sins, forgive us for our sins. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Verily, Allah commands justice, the doing of good, and the giving to kith and kin. He forbids sin, transgression, and oppression. He instructs us that you may receive admonition. Surely Allah preserves from lewdness and iniquity, and remembrance of Allah is more important, and Allah is aware of all that you do. Aqimu salah.